Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10, these very difficult words of Jesus. When he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." This is God's word. Please be seated. It was just 8 weeks ago or so that we read on the day of our Lord's resurrection how he appeared to his disciples in a room behind locked doors and windows, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And now today, here we are, and we read these words of Jesus, "I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." So what's up with that? And maybe our best clue comes from John chapter 14 when Jesus says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." So in other words, Jesus makes it clear that what he calls peace and what the world calls peace are two completely different things. You see, from the perspective of heaven, what the world calls peace is really a fake peace. It's the kind of peace that ignores the elephant in the living room. That kind of peace. You know, when Bobby says, "Psst, Billy, pretend that the elephant isn't here in the room. We're pretending it's not really here, or maybe call it something else." And Billy says, "But Bobby, it's obviously here. It's massive. It smells. It's got gray, wrinkled skin and a trunk. It's an elephant." And Bobby says, "Just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away." And Billy says, but it's making a mess of things. How long are we going to let this charade go on? Shh. Just pretend it's not here. Call it something else." It sounds silly, doesn't it, to ignore the elephant in the living room? How could you? Who would ignore the elephant in the living room? And yet we do it all the time. We purposely ignore that huge, smelly issue, that sin that is making a mess out of things, because we ignore it because we're afraid that if we bring it up, we're going to cause some strife and some friction. And my goodness, we don't want that to happen. We must maintain the peace at all costs so the family won't talk about dad's problem with alcohol. Parents won't talk to their child about the offensiveness and the sinfulness of her cohabiting with a boyfriend. A friend won't talk with a friend about her obvious slide into drug abuse. One Christian won't talk to another Christian about their slipping worship attendance or maybe some other sin that they've been caught up in. Anything to avoid upsetting the peace. Anything to avoid introducing a sword into a relationship. It's just easier to pretend that the elephant isn't there. Or maybe to call it something else. Then we can have peace between us. Meanwhile, of course, the problem of the elephant is never addressed. And it continues to destroy and to stink up the place. But that's the kind of peace the world values. Live and let live. Don't talk about right or wrong. Don't talk about truth or error. Don't make judgment calls about people's lives. Don't call an elephant an elephant. Don't call a sin a sin. Don't stir up trouble. It's better to let people ruin their lives or live in denial or even go to hell than to be real about the issue and to talk about it. We know a mother whose daughter became involved in a sexual relationship with a new boyfriend very early in their relationship. And the mother, you know what she said? "I don't want to talk to her about it. She might get mad at me." And so she just lets it go. The elephant in the room just ignores it and lets her daughter live in her sin without even trying. I have seen young couples, though they're so much in love, they're just eager to get married, but they ignore the elephant in the room of their religious differences. Somehow they think that that elephant isn't going to stink up their marriage, you know, until a baby is born, and then one of them says, let's get the child baptized, and the other one says, well, no, let's wait till he grows up until he decides, and then it hits the fan. And it becomes clear that the kind of peace that ignores the elephant in the living room is a fake peace. And you can tell it's fake. Because to maintain that peace, everybody has to play along with the charade. Everybody has to play the game. You can't call the thing what it is. You can't say that a sin is a sin, or you're going to upset somebody. You can tell it's a fake kind of peace because to keep it going, to maintain that peace, you have to excuse the sin, make excuses for the sin instead of actually dealing with the sin. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, yeah, it's wrong, you know, but that's the way the world is these days. We kind of have to get used to it. As if the person who stands up for the truth of God's word is the problem. You can tell it's a fake peace because to maintain that peace, you have to stifle free and honest conversation. And you have to keep the truth buried and hidden. You can tell it's a fake peace because of the fear of upsetting things and introducing a sword into a relationship keeps everybody quiet in a conspiracy of silence. But our Lord says today, if that's what you think peace is, that you can't even be honest with each other, that you can't call a thing what it is, that you can't bring God's word to bear on it, and that you can't even address this matter, the truth of this matter, then I tell you what, I did not come to bring that kind of peace. That's the world's kind of peace, and it's a fake. I would rather bring a sword into our relationship than to be fake with you. I came to face sin, he says. I came to face it head on, to call it what it is, to bring it out in the open, to deal with it so that it can be forgiven and put away and we can be at peace. Real peace. And you know, when you think of it, our Lord was never one to ignore the elephant in the living room, was he? Remember what he said to the Pharisees? He just out and out called them hypocrites. Whitewashed tombs. The woman at the well, he didn't ignore her cohabitation. He spoke it right to her face. As for the Sadducees, right in their face, he said, you're wrong. He pointed out their false beliefs. He didn't ignore it. And the money changers at the temples, he did not mince word. He called them what they are. They are thieves. And they've made God's house a den of robbers. He, the Prince of Peace, the one who said, peace be with you. He goes around stirring up all this trouble, bringing swords into relationships, refusing to ignore the elephant in the living room. Why? Because for Jesus, if it's going to be peace, it's going to be real peace. Not this fake stuff that has everybody tiptoeing around the truth and not able to speak honestly and openly. When he brings peace, it's the real McCoy. The peace that deals with sin so that it can be forgiven and put away. It's either going to be real peace with Jesus or it's going to be a sword. Not this fake stuff. Do not come to think that I have bring peace on earth, he says, but a sword. And he calls us, you know, he cuts through the false peace and the lies and the denials and the excuse making. He cuts through all of that to give us real peace, and he calls us to do the same. To take a stand. To have a little backbone. To stand up and to speak the truth of God's word in love for others, and to actually deal with the elephant in the room. To deal with sins. And yes, I know that when you do that, there is a good chance that you're going to bring a sword into that relationship, even amongst family members. You don't believe it? Just try it. Try to tell a woman who's pregnant with an unwanted child that every life from conception to natural death is precious in the sight of God and is to be protected. And watch the look she gives you. Tell a young couple that sexuality is a gift of God to be enjoyed only within the context of marriage, and listen to the anger in their voices. They will call you names. They will say that you're unloving. They will say that you are unreasonable and you are unsupportive, and they will shun you. And maybe, worst of all, they will unfriend you on Facebook. Raise a hand in the college classroom and say to the professor that you believe there is such a thing as a right and a wrong, an absolute right and wrong to the universe, and watch the steam come out of his ears. And if you're really, really brave, tell a gay person that their lifestyle is a perversion of God's beautiful plan, and watch the sparks start to fly. And you will know exactly what Jesus means when he says, I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Friends, our world is comfortable with its lies. But for real peace to take hold, those lies have to be challenged and exposed for what they are. And we have to be willing to do that with those even who are closest to us in our own families. Because as Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I know it's important that you and I be at peace with each other, but what's even more important is that you be at peace with God. And I need to be able to tell you that, and to deal with you in reality. You know the old adage, you know, for the surgeon to bring healing, first of all, he has to make the cut. And for peace to be real, the sword of God's word must, first of all, make its cuts. It must expose the elephant in the living room, the sin in our lives. All the lies, the lusts, the hatreds, the jealousies, the perversions, the anger, the spite, the name-calling, all of those reeking elephants in our living rooms, that sin that creates this vast chasm between us and God. Let the light of God's word, let the sword of his spirit expose all of that and cut it all away, that it might be forgiven and new life might begin in Jesus Christ. Because God loves you too much to leave you with a fake peace. He sets out to make real peace with us. Peace that actually deals with the elephant in the living room. That sin that so obviously has entangled us and corrupted us and stinks up our lives. He sent his son into this world, into a world of people who are afraid to deal with the truth. A world of people who are afraid to raise the issue of sin with one another. A world of people who would rather even let a family member perish in their sins than to risk upsetting this fake peace that they have. And into this world comes the Son of God to establish a peace that's real. And he fell on the sword. And he took the nails, and he took the spear, and he took the death on the cross, and he went head on into battle against all those elephants in our living rooms that we don't want to deal with, but that have to be dealt with if we're going to have a chance at peace with a holy God. And now he calls us by our name in our baptism. And week after week he feeds us with the words of eternal life, the gospel of our salvation. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be worthy enough. We don't even have to be able enough to make peace with God, because God is at peace with us through his Son, the sacrifice he made and the forgiveness of our sins. So, when we confront the elephants in the living room with our family and our friends, I know we introduce risking a sword into our relationships. And if that's how it goes, then so be it. It's sad, but that's the cross that we bear. But we have to do it. We have to do it because your relationship, your peace with God is what's most important to me. But when we speak the truth, when we deal with that elephant in the living room, we might also see something very wonderful and very beautiful happen. I know of a case where some parents called out their daughter on her sinful living arrangements with a boyfriend, and you bet that that introduced a sword into the relationship. She would not talk with her parents. She unfriended them from Facebook, did everything she could to have nothing to do with them. She had a baby, and she would not even let her parents see that baby. Their parents' grandchild, she would not allow them. That's what the sword did in that relationship. Oh, I'm telling you, the sword is painful. And if you speak the truth to somebody, there might be that kind of pain in that relationship. There will be tears, and there will be prayers, unending prayers, and there will be sleepless nights. But by the calculations of these Christian parents, it is better for them to speak the truth and to deal with the sword than to be party to their daughter going to hell while everybody else is tiptoeing around the elephant in the room, refusing to say what it is. It's a sin. Now, I'll tell you what the story is. It is updated right now. The situation hasn't completely resolved itself, but things are happening. This daughter is back in church. She's realized the error of her ways. She's taking steps to correct things and to restore relationships. And peace, real peace, is slowly being restored to that family. It's not going to be the fake peace like so many families try to maintain. That fake peace that doesn't allow anybody to not speak openly and honestly. Doesn't allow it to call sin what it is. But when peace comes to that family, it's going to be a peace that mirrors the peace that we have with God through Christ. The best kind of peace that has confronted the sin, that has defeated the sin, and has forgiven the sin, and in which God is glorified as a new life is begun. So, friends in Christ, stop ignoring the elephant in the living room. Be bold. Get a backbone. Love God more than you even love your family, and speak the truth in love for a person. And if that brings the sword into your relationship, then you pray, and you pray for that person, and you pray some more, that the pain of that sword may one day become the real peace of God, the real peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.